So we're on Daf Tzadi Zayin Amid Beis, and we're counting up from the bottom of the Amud about 10 lines. And you'll see the two dots, Pshita. Now we're talking about someone who throws an object and it lands. Now, there are two possibilities. One possibility is that he doesn't care where it lands, and the other possibility is that he has thrown it to a definite, to reach what he thinks is a definite specific point, a location, and that's where he wants it to land. That's the introduction to our sugya for today. Keep in mind that in the sugya that we learned yesterday, we had a possibility that, at least according to Rabbi Yehuda, if you could be chayav for both an av and its toldah, shtei chatos, then if you throw something from Rishus HaYochid into Rishus HaRabim and it penetrates four amos into Rishus HaRabim before it lands, then it could be that Yechayv Shtayim, if he doesn't care where it lands, if he makes a general statement, Kol Mokom Shetirtze Tanuach, and if we apply the principle of Kluta Kamisha Hunchadomi, then it means that it lands as soon as it enters into the airspace of Rishus HaRabim, and that's a hanocha, and now Mikoch, as a result of his Rika, it penetrates another four amas into Rishus HaRabim, he can be chayev in addition to Meleches Hotzah, he can be chayev for Meleches Havar Dalet Amas. So that's a case where he declares Kol Mokom Shetirtze Tanuah. So he doesn't mind if it lands at the beginning of four amos, if it lands at the end of the amos, four amos, and therefore he has two hanachos, and with one zriki achieves two malachos. Okay. Pshita, niskaven lizrok shmona. Here's a case where his intention was clearly to land at a specific location, which is eight amos away. So his interest is to get from here to eight amos away. But instead, Zorak Arba Amos. So the Anocha took place four amos away from where he was standing, from where he threw. Now, you can look at this in one of two ways when you analyze it. On the one hand, you could say, well, look, this is not what he wanted. He wanted to throw it eight amos, and it didn't go eight amos. On the other hand, you could say that included in eight amos is four amos. The nafkamina is going to be in the reverse case. Let's say, instead of throwing it eight amos, he only wanted it four amos, and it landed eight amos away. That's a whole different kind of azrika. Then in that case, you know, the place that it flew way beyond what his interest was, correct? Okay. But here's a case where we could call it Yesh Bechlal Masayim Mona, right? Included in the greater is the smaller. There's no way you can get it 8 amos without traveling 4 amos. So the Gemara says, Harei, I'm going to add a few words, Harei Ukimi Shekosav Shem Mishimon. So in the Mishnah back on Daf, well, actually it's ahead of us, on Daf Kuf Gimel, at the beginning of Perek HaBona, the Mishnah has a case where he intended to write the name Shimon. Now, for Meleches Ksiva, Yechayv with two osios. Before getting by the second letter, to the Vav, the third letter, he stopped prematurely, and the Mishnah says he's Chayv. Why? Because he wrote the minimum shear of two letters. So the question is, well, that's not what he intended. His intention was to write the whole name Shimon. But since Shem is part of Shimon, and there's no way that he can complete the name Shimon without writing Shin Mem, so then Niskaima Machshavto, his interest in writing a word of two letters was definitely part of his program, part of his plan. You can't deny it that he wanted to write Shem, and he wrote Shem. Now, just on the side, I mean, it's not for us today, but the Gemara is going to have a whole discussion there about the mem of Shem, because there's a mem psucha and a mem stuma. And he wrote a mem psucha, and the word Shem is with a mem skura, right? What we call a mem sofit, if you follow what I mean. So the Gemara is going to have a whole discussion in Hilchas Sefer Torah, what happens if the sofer made a mistake and, you know, instead of writing a mem psucha, he wrote a mem stuma, or vice versa. Are they basically the same letter, or they're two different letters? This halach of Shem Yishimon would seem to indicate that they're interchangeable. And that even though he wrote a mem psucha, it could count as if he wrote a mem stuma, and we could read it as Shem. Now here too, by process of analogy, the Gemara thinks, without a shadow of a doubt, that if he wanted to throw something a full 8 amos, then included in his machshavto was to throw it 4 amos. I mean, you and I would have said, wait a minute, he doesn't want to end the end point to be 4 amos. That's not where he wants to put the object. But then again, what are you going to do with Shem Mishimon? You know, his end goal was not to write Shem, it was to write Shimon. And yet the Mishnah says he's Chayav. So it means that the Mishnah in Perek Habona, which is Perek HaKosev, I mean, half of it is called Habona, the other half you can call Perek HaKosev, establishes a breakthrough principle. And that is that when we talk about Is Avdo Machshavto, we don't need his final machshava, we need the step-by-step process. That's also included in machshavto. And if, in order to get to his final goal, he must, ipso facto, go through one step after the other, then every step along the way is considered a savdik machshavto. We're not going to judge his malacha in terms of his machshava from the perspective of the end zone, but rather how to get to the end zone. And if he accomplishes a shir of that malacha on the way to the end zone, even though he wants to double it and triple it, then he'll have to be satisfied, so to speak, with what he got. And he got his full shear of malacha. So the full shear of malachas kosev is 2 osios, the full shear of malachas mavir is 4 amos, and in both cases, the Gemara thinks a perfect analogy, he has an exavto makshavto insofar as that the shear of the malacha was part of his original plan, because there's no way that he can achieve his ultimate goal. You know, you and I might say, well, it's all or nothing. Imagine a case of a kablan. You know, he wants to build a building. So he's not satisfied until the entire building is complete. But that's not how it works in Hilchos Shabbos. In Hilchos Shabbos, he'll be chayav for every stage along the way, because every stage is absolutely necessary, and it's a creative labor, it's a malacha unto itself. So we're going to take his overall, overriding machshava, we're going to break it down into segments. Each segment represents a shear of malacha, which the Torah considers an act that is creative, that is chashiv, that's an act of labor, and that's also included in his machshava. All right, you didn't get your final goal. You know, man is not meant to always achieve all his goals. Had a Chazal say, "Ein Adam," you know, nobody leaves this world without Chatzi Tavaso B'Yadam. So that's called Shem Yishimon. So if he achieves 4 Amos out of 8 Amos, he's Chayav, because 8 Amos is made up of 4 Amos plus, and he wanted it to travel 4 Amos. What's complicated here is that whereas in Meleches Ksiva, we don't know that there's an end zone, in Meleches Hotzah, there's an end zone that finalizes and completes the Melacha, and that's called Hanacha. You know, where does Hanacha fit into the place here? You know, it's really true that 4 Amos is on the way to 8 Amos, and you can't get to 8 without 4. But when you talk about Meleches Hotzah, you're talking about the relocation of an object. And his machshava, in terms of relocation, was not just 4 plus 4 amos. It's not just calculate the distance between X and Y, but rather where he wants to relocate the object. And he wants to relocate the object at the end of 8 amos. He didn't get what he bargained for. But the Gemara says he's chayav achat. So keep in mind that there's a big chiddush here in this Gemara in the analogy to kosev. Now, I just want to add, again, this is all an introduction to Daf Kuf Gimel, when we get there, that it could be, and this gigantic issue of Meleches Kosev, that even Meleches Kosev has an end zone, which would parallel Hanocha in Meleches Hotzah. That end zone is creating a Teva, right? Not the Ark of Noach, but a Teva, meaning a word. For example, all the cases that the Gemara gives where he only wrote two letters out of a longer word that he intended to write, in all those cases, he wrote a word. So many Rishonim say that it's not coincidental that the Gemara gave those examples. So Shin Mem is a word, it's a Teva in the Torah. The problem with those Rishonim is that the Gemara comes to the conclusion that even if he writes two letters that are identical, then it has to form a word. But in the case of two different letters, again, this is not the case of Shemi Shimon, but he'd be chayev for writing two different letters, even if they don't form a word. So he had a longer word, he wrote two different letters of the beginning of that word. Those two letters did not form a word. They cannot be read as a word. But they're two different letters. And because they're two different letters, he's going to be chayav, even though he doesn't create a word. And that's the big kasha on those Rishonim who say that Meleches Ksiva really means creating a word. And what it comes out to be is really, Meleches Ksiva doesn't mean creating a word. It means creating the potential for a word. In other words, there are two letters that could possibly be part of a word. And the Gemara asks, what happens if he writes two Alephs? So where's the potential of Meleches Ksiva to create a word? And the Gemara searches through Tanakh and comes up with a word, Azreka, which starts with two Alephs. So, you know, there's just, it's a nuance of a difference. You know, it doesn't mean that you have to create a word in order to be chayav from Meleches Kosev, but the two Osios represent the potential to create a word. And that again would indicate that the machshava of creating a word is very much integral, it's very much pertinent to define Meleches Ksiva, and that further allows for this kind of analogy that the Gemara is presenting here. Okay, now we get to the flip case, where instead of intending to throw it 8 amos and he threw it 4, he intended to throw it 4 amos and he threw it 8 amos. Niskavein Lizrok Arba Vizorak Shmona Mahu. Now here it's way more complicated, because he wanted to throw it 4 amos. And now what are you gonna say? He's chayav for throwing it 8 amos. He had no interest whatsoever in 8 amos. You know, if he intended to throw it 8 amos and he threw it 4 amos, well, yesh b'chlal, you know, included, implicit in 8 amos is 4 amos. But when he intended here in this case to throw it 4 amos, he threw it 8 amos. Mao, what's the din? Mi amrin on the Gemara has a suffix. Ha afik le. In fact, within 8 amos, you have a hotzah, or let's call it havara, of 4 amos. And that means that he had a full-fledged intention of violating Meleches Havara. In fact, he doubled it. Befa'al, he carried it not only, or threw it, right, carried it not only 4 amos, but he carried it a full 8 amos. You know, maybe we should tar and feather him and give him 2 chatos, because he had 2 different havaras of dalin amos. But one thing is crystal clear, you have to admit to me that this guy's not a tzadik gomur. I mean, he wanted to throw it 4 amos. So he had a full-fledged machshaves molacha. And within the context of a machshavas molacha, it's niskaima machshavto. If his machshava was to do a molacha of havaras dalet amos, then you for sure he did so, and to boot, he did it 8 amos. Oh, Dilma?
Didn't we have that before by Misasek? This candle, and he lit that candle, and he would be clutter.
Right. And that's exactly the second side in the Gemara. So we'll come back and ask you a question on the first side, but let's just see the second side. Oh, Dilma, or should we say no? He's not going to be Chayav Achatos in this case. Why not? Because Hecha Duboy Holo Noch. He wanted a Havara of 4 amos. You see, in the first case, he got part of his Hanocha. But in the second case, what did he get over here? He gets a Hanocha of 8 amos? He says, Hecha Duboy Lo Noch. The Chefetz did not end up where he wanted it to be. That's not called Niskayma Machshavto. That is called Misasek. And what is Misasek? Misasek means that what he got is not what he bargained for. Now, let's just point out here that there's one difference between the second side of the Gemara and Misasek, meaning the equation to Misasek is not perfect. Because in the case of Misasek, what we said was, and that was Rava Shita Misasek, is that he had no intention for a Maisa Isur. Right? For example, he wanted to do a Chituch of Tolush, and it turned out to be a Chituch of Mechubar. So that's not a Maisa Isur. So let's say he intended to throw it 2 amos, and he threw it 4 amos. That would be Misasek. Why? Because throwing it 2 amos is not a Maisa Avera. Here it's a little bit more complicated. Here even Rava would have to agree, this is not Misasek. Because Misasek means when he didn't have Kavanas Maisa Isur. Here, he indeed had Kavanas Maisa Isur. He wanted to throw it 4 amos. Therefore, we're inclined to think that even in the second side of the Gemara that says he's patur, the patur here is not midin misasek, but it's midin meleches hotzah. This is not a universal principle or an application of that principle of misasek in Hilchos Shabbos, but rather it's a specific halacha in hotzah. And what is that halacha in hotzah? The halacha in hotzah is that since Hanocha is a precondition, it's a critical condition that has to be met, there's no such thing as a violation of Lechas Hotzo without Hanocha. So therefore, we need a Hanocha that at the very least is implicit in his Kavan and his Machshava. What do I mean by implicit? So if he had a Hanocha, which is at the end of 8 amos, implicit is a Havara of 4 amos. But if his Havara was 4 amos, there's no implicit Machshava for a Hanocha of 8 amos. Again, I'm just trying to justify the second side of the Gemara. I mean, obviously, the first side of the Gemara that he should be chayav is a very compelling logic based on the first case, which means that we disqualify the Hanocha. We're going to say he's chayav when it goes 8 amos, and he intended it to be have Hanocha in 4 amos. So you see that Hanocha is not a critical part of Niskayma Machshavto to make him into a shogeg with a liability of a chatos. If we apply that here, in the case of Niskaven Li Arba, Venach Bisof Shmoneh, So you could certainly argue that the Anocha is not a critical part of his Kaima Machshavta. He wanted a Machshava of relocating the object in Rishus HaRabim, the shear of which, the minimum shear is 4 Amos, and he got what he bargained for. That's the first Tzad in the Gemara. And what the first Tzad in the Gemara is extrapolating from the opening case, which was Pshita, is that forget about Hanocha. His Hanocha was meant to be at the end of 8 Amos in the first case in the Reisha. He got Hanocha at the end of 4 Amos. Forget about that. We're focused on a Hanocha HaMachayeves, and he had a Machshava for Hanocha HaMachayeves. In this case also, where he wanted to throw it 4 Amos, he has a Machshava for Hanocha HaMachayeves, Hanocha of a Meleches Havara. So we can understand the first Tzad here in the Gemara, in the Suffolk in the Gemara, that he's Chayev. The second Tzad says the following. Yes, you're right about the fact that he had a Machshava of Hanocha Machayeves, and that's true in both cases. Both in the case where he wanted to throw it 4 Amos, and he threw it 8 Amos. I'm sorry. Both in the case where he wanted to throw it 8 Amos, and he threw it 4 Amos, and in the case where he wanted to throw it 4 Amos, and it ended up 8 Amos. In both cases, he had that minimum Kavano Machshava for Hanocha Machayeves, but there's a fundamental difference between the two. Because when you talk about Hanocha Machayeves, you define the Hanocha Machayeves by the end zone, so to speak, and you can take all the segments within and set up a Machshava of Hanocha Machayeves. So in the case where he intended for 8 Amos, every single segment of that melacha is included in his machshava of hanocha. His machshavas hanocha includes any part of the 8 Amos, according to the second Tzad in the Gemara. But in a case where he intended to throw it 4 Amos, it's impossible to say that there are segments of his machshava HaMachayeves, of Hanocha HaMachayeves. His Hanocha HaMachayeves was 4 Amos. You can't break it down into smaller parts. So the Gemara says, wait a minute. I have a simple answer to this question. V'lav hainu di omale ravino l'ravashi. Now, Rashi has a different gear here. Rashi says, Duboy mine Ravino Ravashi. In other words, isn't your suffix absolutely identical with the suffix that Ravina asked Ravashi? So let's go over the Gemara that we learned yesterday and the suffix of Ravina when he asked this question to Ravashi. Okay. So, he throws an object from Rishus HaYochid into Rishus HaRabim, and it penetrates into Rishus HaRabim 4 Amos. And the question is whether or not he should be Chayav for Havoras Arba Amos. And, right, so what was his original Machshava? Right, let me just going over the mathematics here. Ravina thought that in that case, he should be chayev for the extra chiyuv of Arba Amos. And again, that depends upon whether you chayev two chatos for a told of a makom av, but leaving that out. And on the one hand, he did not give any indication that he wants it to travel 4 Amos in Rishus HaRabim. And Amar Le Rav Ashi responded to Ravina that it depends what his intention was. When is he going to be chayav for the additional malacha of Havaras Dalet Amos? Be Omer Kol Makom Shetirtzeh Tanuach. Only if he had this all-encompassing archway, you know, arching Machshavas Hanocha, where he says, I don't care whether there's one Hanocha, two Hanochos, all Hanochos are fine. So he has to go out of his way to make that statement. Again, yesterday we discussed whether he has to actually pronounce it or his Machshava, but in any event, that was his Machshava. So therefore he could be chayev not only for Hotzah, right, when the object enters into the airspace of Shisram, but for an additional malacha of Havara. That's called Niskaima Machshavto. So what do we see from Rav Ashi? It becomes clear from Rav Ashi that we're only going to be chayev you for Meleches Hotzah, or in this case Havara, in a case where the Hanocha was exactly where he wanted it to be. Which means that he made a statement, or he thought, let me take as many Hanochas as I can get. If I can get Hanocha at the beginning of Dalet Amos B'Shezerabim, get Hanocha at the end of Dalet Amos B'Shezerabim, and then I could be chayev for both Hotzah and Havara. In our case, on the other hand, right, in our case, we don't know that he has kavana for any hanocha whatsoever. On the contrary, he had a definite machsheves hanocha. I mean, those are the two cases that we dealt with. In the first case, his machsheves hanocha was 8 amos. In the second case, it was 4 amos. But you see clearly from the dialogue between Ravina and Rav Ashi that both came to the conclusion, they worked it out, b'chavrusa, that you need a definite machshavas hanocha in order to be machayev. Udeka amrit, and you are quoting a Mishnah in Perek Habone, Hare kosav shem mishimon, that if you write shame out of Shimon, so he only wrote the Shin Mem, it says that you're chayev. So therefore you're chayev for a sheer katan out of a sheer gadol, and therefore to you it was simple that if he wanted to throw 8 amos and he threw it 4 amos, that's the sheer katan that he got from the sheer gadol. Me dummy, that's not a fair analogy. So it's unbelievable, the Gemara is now rejecting the original pshita. We thought the Gemara was going to reject the extension, you know, the suffix, in the case where he wanted to throw it 4 and it ended 8. Now the Gemara is undermining the whole story. Even in the case where he intended it 8 and it fell 4, he didn't have kavana for that hanocha 4. Hasam, there in the case of Shem Mishimon, is called kama delo kasiv shem lo michtav le Shimon. There's no question here about the fact that included in his machshava to write, let's call it 5 osios, he wanted to write, and he intended to write the first 2 osios. And he can't possibly write all 5 osios unless he writes the first 2 osios. So there's no question that he had a kavana to write those 2 osios. No one can deny that he had full intention to write Shin Mem. That's called Niskaima Machshavto. But Hocha, but here, in a case where he wanted to throw it 8 amos, and he only threw it 4 amos, is Kama Delo Zorik Arba, Lo Mizdarki Le Tamne. Are you going to tell me that if he doesn't throw it 4 amos, he won't be able to throw it 8 amos? Correct? Right? If he doesn't write the shame of Shin Mem, he won't be able to write Shimon. Well, the answer is, what about Hanocha? You are totally oblivious to Hanocha. You've ignored Hanocha. It's not fair to say that the Zrika of four Amos is included in the Zrika of eight Amos. Because it's not like in Ksiva, where all we needed for a Machsheves Malacha is to write the Osios. That's the Machsheva of Kosev. In the case of Hotzah, or our case of Harvora, the Machsheva and the Malacha is Hanacha. So you can't tell me that Zrika of eight Amos includes within it, inherent, so to speak, latent within it is a Havara of four Amos. That's not true. Because Havara of four Amos means Akira, Havara, plus Hanacha. And that means that the Hanacha will be at the end of four Amos. Now, to tell me that because he had a machshava to throw it eight Amos, then he absolutely must get a, on the way, so to speak, a Havara of four Amos, that's not true. You know, let's say you're riding on a train, and you're going from Bialystok to Brisk. So you definitely have to pass Bialystok to get to Brisk. But you're not going to stop in Bialystok. You're on an express. You're on an express train. So the express train will take you all the way to Brisk. No stops on the way. So I'm not going to say that a trip to Bialystok is included in a trip to Brisk, even though we will pass through Bialystok on our way to Brisk. But that's not the Malacha. The Malacha is not passing through Bialystok. The Malacha is stopping, you know, Yesh Tachana B'Bialystok. There is no Tachana B'Bialystok. We're on an express train, my friend. So his Kavana was to throw it eight Amos. There's no question he has to pass through, you know, the four Amos to get to the eight Amos. But that's not the Malacha. The Malacha is not passing through four Amos. The Malacha is relocating the object at the end of four Amos. And when you take a look at the Maleches Havara in its totality, you cannot postulate that what he meant to do has within it a segment of four Amos. It does not. Because the four Amos means Anoch at the end of four Amos. He didn't have in mind that Havar. So if you're talking about, you know, the flight of the object through the air, Enoch Inami is going to fly through four Amos. But if you're talking about Meleches Havara means it lands at the end of four Amos. He had no intention of it landing at the end of four Amos. And therefore the Gemara concludes that Lo Niskayma Machshavto, Lo Miboy, goes without saying in the case where his kavana was to throw four Amos and it ended eight Amos, that's for sure Lo Niskayma Machshavto. But even if he had kavana to throw it eight Amos and it landed four Amos, which he had to get that four Amos in order to achieve his goal of eight Amos, that's still considered Lo Niskayma Machshavto because he had no intention of the object, you know, terminating its flight at the end of four Amos. Tana Rabbanon, we learned in the Braisa, Hazorek, Mirshus HaRabim, Lirshus HaRabim, Urshus HaYochid, Ba'emtza. So he throws something from one Rishus HaRabim to another Rishus HaRabim. Now, in the past, we've discussed Besa Kaman Demalia Domi, which means that he has a house in between two Rishus HaRabims on each side, and the moment he throws it into the window of the house, it's Besa Kaman Demalia Domi. There was Hanocha in the house. That's not the case that we're discussing now. Now we're discussing a case where it went from one Rishus HaRabim to another Rishus HaRabim through a Rishus HaYochid. And the Rishus HaYochid was not Makura, you know, it was not a house that has a ceiling to it. And Arba Amos Rishus HaRabim. Okay? Now, what does it mean, Arba Amos Rishus HaRabim? So imagine the following. He's standing in a Rishus HaRabim, two Amos away from a Rishus HaYochid. So when he throws it and it passes through the air of Rishus HaYochid, he's carried it to Amos in Rishus HaRab. The object lands to Amos into the second Rishus HaRab. Can we apply the principle of Tziruf and integrate the two Amos in the first Rishus HaRabim with the two Amos in the second Rishus HaRabim, and Sach HaKol, he has carried it four Amos in Rishus HaRabim. The only problem is that splitting, wedging between the first two Amos in Rishus HaRabim and the second two Amos in the second Rishus HaRabim was Rishus HaYochid. How do we view this? So if you take a look at the beginning of Tzadi Ches Amid Aleph, it says Chayav. I mean, Chayav is the last word on Amid Aleph, but in contrast, Pachos Me'ar Ba'amas Pot. Okay, I don't know exactly why the Bryce has to tell me that Pachos Me'ar Ba'amas is Potter. Maybe the Gemara is coming lafuki kluta kamisha hun chadami, so we don't see it as if it landed in Rishus HaYochid. Fine, that I can survive. But let's go back to the Reisha. The Reisha says that he's chayav, and we're not holding kluta kamisha hun chadami, right? Because if we are holding kluta kamisha hun chadami, then the sefer makes no sense. Who cares if it didn't go four amos in Rishus HaRabim? It'd still be chayiv the very moment it hits the airspace of Rishus HaYochid. Kluta kamisha hun chadami. So we're rejecting now in this price a kluta kamisha hun chadami. Then why is he chayiv in the Reisha? And the only option that we have is to integrate the two amos in one Rishus HaRabim with the two amos in the other Rishus HaRabim with the Rishus HaYochid in the middle. Now, the amazing thing to me here is the Rambam. The Rambam wants to derive what he considers a radical conclusion from this Gemara. I mean, I thought the radical conclusion was that you could add the two Amos of one Rishus HaRabim with the two Amos in the other Rishus HaRabim. That's not the Rambam. The Rambam says that the Chiddush, I'll read to you the Rambam in a second, that the Chiddush of this Braisa is that we don't calculate the Rishus HaYochid as part of the Dalet Amos. She'em etzarfim es havoras hachefetz Rishus HaYochid l'shiur arba Amos. Imagine that. We'll see the Rambam inside. The Rambam entertains a Hamamina, which this Bryce is rejecting, that in calculating the four Amos, we should integrate the distance that it traveled in Rishus HaYochid to set up Havara of Rishus HaRabim, of Dalet Amos Rishus HaRabim. So the Rambam writes, Hamavir Arba Amos Rishus HaRabim, Rishus HaRabim Zu Im Rishus HaRabim Shnia, if he has a sum total of four Amos, adding one Rishus HaRabim with another Rishus HaRabim, Chayav. Mipnei she arba Amos b'shtei Rishuyos HaRabim mitztarfim. That's the Rambam's language. Mipnei shelo noch hachefetz b'rishus shebeinehem. The Rambam says that since there was no hanocha in Rishus HaYochid, in between, it continues its flight, therefore we're going to calculate A plus B, the two Amos, I'm just giving that example, of the first Rishus HaRabim with the second Rishus HaRabim. And the Rambam says that we're not going to be mitzaref the Amos that had traveled in Rishus HaYochid. Now, in this footnote, and honestly, I've never seen this anything like this in my life, he quotes a Ralbag. You know, when I was studying a Jewish philosophy, you know, in my old days, so they used to call them Gersonides. You remember that? And I've never seen in any of the classic works that they quote Gersonides for a halachic conclusion. Now, don't quote me on this, because the Ralbag is going to be very angry at me when he meets me in the Olam HaEmes, but I'm not sure that the Ralbag was a great Talmudic scholar. I don't know if that was his thing. I mean, he was a great thinker. One of the most radical positions that he has is, you know, about anthropomorphism. Because, you know, he went even beyond the Ravid Shita about God having a body and so forth, all those psukim. But in any event, so the Ralbag writes, and you can look it up in the parsha that we're going to read in 2 days' time, in Mirz Shem Fakriyas HaTorah for Shavuos, it's in Shmos Chaf. He writes, Shemitzarfim es masha ovar hachefetz birshus hayochid l'shir arba amos. Could you imagine that there is a Rishon that goes on record, the Ralbag, and he holds that you can integrate the flight of Rishus HaYochid to set up Arba Amos Rishus HaRab. So you all heard of Rabbi Nachum Zemba, and he has a great work on Masechta Shabbos. So he writes that you have to be very careful here. Don't take the Ralbag too far. And he says that even the Ralbag is mode that you could be mitzarif the Rishus HaYochid to the Rishus HaRabim to set up four Amos, but only because Rishus HaYochid is called, in his language, a Rishus Shel Mokom Chiyu. So what he means is that, let's say, the airspace in between the two Rishus HaRabims was a Carmelis or a Mokom Ptur. It's not a Rishus HaChiyuv. That for sure could not be integrated, even according to the Ralbag, into the four Amos of Rishus HaRab. But because Rishus HaYochid is a Mokom Chiyuv, which means that had he put it down in Rishus HaYochid, he would be chai for that Hanocha. Therefore, the Ralbag is of the opinion that we can add the flight in Rishus HaYochid as a piece to be mitzarefit to four Amos. Achledas HaRambam, this is the Rabbi Nachum Zemba, Havora Atzma, he maisa malocha, v'kol shiura tzorech le'asos b'rishus HaRab. So the Rambam defines the Havara, meaning taking it from one part of Rishus HaRabim, four Amos to the other, that is the Maisa Malacha for which he's Chayav. And therefore you could only be Mitzarif the Shir of Rishus HaRab. But Ladas HaRalbag, HaMalacha hi HaToka mitchilas Arba Amos L'Sof Arba Amos. The essential, or shall we say, the quintessence of Meleches, definition of Meleches Havara, is from the beginning of four Amos to Sof Arba Amos. V'Havara Atzma Eina Chelek Mimaisa Melecha. You pick it up at point X, you put it down at point Y, the distance between the two is four Amos. That is the Melecha. What you did in the middle, in carrying it, that's not the Melacha. That's just a Hechatimtza that's technically necessary, because how are you going to get it from the beginning of 4 hours to the end of 4 hours if you don't carry it? So the Rambam defines the carrying as the Melacha, and therefore you have to carry it 4 hours b'Rishus HaRab. You didn't carry it 4 hours b'Rishus HaRab. You want to be Mitzaref, Lamazogin, 2 hours that you carried in Rishus HaYochid. Says the Ralbag, well, let's look where you started, and let's look where you ended, the Akira Nanocha, and we see there was a distance of 4 hours. The Havara itself is not the Malacha. When we define the Havara as the Malacha, then we need a Havara of Dalet Amos. And again, that's number one. And if we're not defining the Malacha as the Havara, then we look at the beginning and the end, as long as you went through a makom chiyuv, and that's the Ralbach. Again, Rav Osa, I don't know if I know you're all scholars, and maybe I think Sammy, you would be the one. If I again, I'm not asking for any favors here, but if you can check out, you know, this is something that Dr. Chorsky of the Shalom probably wrote a, he wrote a part of a thesis or a presentation on. How many halachas do we derive from the Ralbag's commentary on the Torah? I'm not a Bucky in Ralbag. I actually have a Ralbag from Moshe Rav Kook. Go find it. But I doubt if you'll find too many halachic conclusions. And this one is really revolutionary. So I just found, I found that fascinating for those who are a little bit more into history and halachic history. Okay, now we get to the top of Tzariches, the end of the Braisa. Is Pachos mi Arba Amos? Potter. Right, so the Chefetz left Rishus HaRabim into Rishus HaYochid, and then from there into Rishus HaRabim. But it never actually traveled all of four Amos in Rishus HaRab. Now again, you have to reject Kluta Gemisha Unchadomi. You can't say he's Potter if you hold Kluta, because then he's Chayav, forget about Rishus HaRab, he's Chayav for it landing in Rishus HaYoch. So Gemara asks, my Komashmalon? Hakomashmalon Dirishuyos Mitztarfos. That you could be Mitzaref a Maisa Havara that's made up of two parts in two different Rishuyos, and between the two you end up with a Malacha. So Yechayef Havara Stalat Amos, even though there was only Havara of two Amos in one Rishus, another two Amos in another Rishus, and we're not going to say that Rishus HaYochid Mechalekes Beinehem. You know, we're not going to say that the Rishus HaYochid in the middle wedges and breaks up that Tziruf. Now, let's point out that that's Chiddush number one, and that Chiddush is against Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yossi, you may recall, I think we touched on this in the past, was talking about a case where he carried a Chatzi Shir, and then he went back and he carried another Chatzi Shir. And Rabbi Yossi says, let's ask, where did he put down the two Chatzi Shirs? Half a Grogeris here and half a Grogeris there. Says Rabbi Yossi, that if he took these two Chatzi Shirs and he placed them both down in the same Rishus HaRabim or the same Rishus HaYochid, whatever it might be, then he's going to be Chayev. But if he takes half of a Grogeris and he brings it into one Rishus, and the other half of the Grogeris into a second Rishus, then Rabbi Yossi says, Ein HaRishus Mitztarfos. You can't integrate the two carryings into one Meleches Hotzah, because Rishus Mechalkos. The Gemara has a discussion exactly how far Rabbi Yossi goes when he says Rishus Mechalkos. Like, what would be if he has a pas, he has just a long piece of wood that's sitting in the middle of Rishus HaRab. He takes a Chatzi Grogeris and he lays it down on the right side of this piece of wood, and another Chatzi Grogeris he lays down on the other side of that piece of wood. And Rav Ashita, in that sugya back on Daf Pei, is that that's enough to set up Rishus Mechalkos, because had he put down whatever foodstuff on the pas, on this piece of wood, he would be potter, because the wood is not four tvachim wide, it's a makom p'tur. And that's how far Rabbi Yossi would go, that even if you have a makom p'tur wedged between two parts of what is essentially one Rishus HaRabim, that sets up two Rishios, and Rishios Mechalkos, we're not going to integrate the first half of a Grogeris together with the second half of the Grogeris. So the logic here of this Gemara is that that our Braisa could not be reconciled with Rabbi Yossi, because our Braisa is going to be Mitzare for one Molacha of Hotzah, two different Rishuyos. And again, here the Molach is Havara, and you've got two Amas here, two Amas there. Clearly, there's a Rishus HaYochid to be Machalik between the two Rishus HaRavims, and nevertheless, you are Chaya. So you see that Rishuyos Mitztarfos, and that's against Rabbi Yossi. V'od, and furthermore, there's another Chiddush here in this Braisa, Delo Amrinon Kluta Kamisha Huncha. That in the Seifa of the Braisa, he's Patur. So again, the first Chiddush was in the Reisha, that he's Chayav, even though Rishuyos, according to Rabbi Yossi, would be Machalkos. Here we're going to say Rishuyos Mitztarfos. And then there's a Chiddush in the Seifa that you're Patur, and we don't apply the principle of Kluta Kamisha Huncha. Amar Rav Shmuel Bar Yehuda, Amar Rabbi Abba, Amar Rav Huna, Amar Rav Hamavir Arba Avos B'Shusarabim Mekora Potur. What happens in a case of a Shusarabim that has a ceiling? So you and I would say, what difference does it make? Like, for example, we have overpasses, right? In modern society, it's quite common to have a Rishus HaRabim Makura. You know, very often when you're driving on the roads, I mean, even here in Israel, I mean, we don't have the highways they have in America, but you're driving on a highway in Israel, all of a sudden you see people walking across, right? That's an overpass. Okay, I don't know exactly how Makura it is, because, you know, it's only a small strip that cuts over the Rishus HaRabim. But you can have larger, you know, edifices that cover over Rishus HaRabim. Vas Artmir, why am I bothered by the fact, why is Rav bothered by the fact that it's Makura? So the Gemara says that Meleches Hotzah has to be derived from and restricted by Meleches HaMishkan. Lefisha eno domel ledigle midbar. So right in the midbar, which was last week's parasha, we had three machnos. Let's talk about Machna Yisrael. Machna Yisrael had shishim ribui, and that's your classic Rishus HaRabim. And there was no ceiling on top. We're going to derive all the dinim of Hotzol Rishus HaRabim, or Mavir Dalet Amos Rishus HaRabim, from Digle Midbar, from the Machna Yisrael in the Midbar, and we're limited and restricted by that scenario. And there it was, a Rishus HaRabim She'eino Makura. So Gemara says, Eini, is that really so? V'ho HaGolos. Okay, now we get to the wagons that carried the Karshe of Mishkan, and the Mekoros Havyan, every one of the wagons had a covering over it. Okay, fine. The Omar Rav Mishum Rabbi Chia, Hagolos, Tachteyem, Beineyem, Vitzideyem, Rishus HaRabim. So the Hagolos have what's, number one, what's called a Chalal, airspace underneath the wagon. Number two, there's airspace between one wagon and the next wagon. And number three, every wagon has airspace on its right and on its left. All those spaces, so to speak, are considered Rishus HaRabim. And again, keep in mind, this is a statement of Rav, the same Rav who's telling me that you're potter for Rishus HaRabim Makora. So let's look at Tachteyem, right? Tachteyem means the airspace underneath the Agola. That airspace is clearly Makura. And yet, Rav says that it's considered a Rishus HaRabim. He goes on record as saying that explicitly. So Gemara answers, Kikoma Rav. When did Rav say that the airspace underneath the Agolos is considered Rishus Rav? That's only Bidorasa. Okay, now we have to figure out what Darasa is. Darasa is usually an empty space, what we call a Revach, so that Rav is talking about Rav is talking about the space between one Agola and the next Agola. So you have a, let's call it a row of wagons. And you have another row of wagons on its left or on its right. So where were the crushing? So the two ways of understanding where the crushim are. I have some diagrams here in the Masifta. So one way of understanding the crushim is that the crushim wa munachim shuros Hamisudarim Echod Al Gabi Asheni Ligova. Those, they piled up the crushim one on top of the other. And Lohayu Akrushim Munachim Lichol Orach Hagola. Again, the crushim were not stretched out over the length of the Agola, but rather they were piled up one on top of the other, and there was a space between one row and the next row. So you have an Agola, and you've got crushing piled up on the right, crush him on the in the middle, crush him on the left, and there's airspace between each row of crush him. So when Rav said Tachteim is Rishus HaRabim, what he meant was the airspace between one row of crushim and the next. Again, the Gemara is going to have a whole analysis here about how large of an airspace it was in order to get it, to give it a status of Rishus HaRabim. But I just wanted to understand the basic principle over here. Give me a minute because I see we're running out of time. I just want to add one thing and then I'll let you go. He says the following. He says that, let me read the few footnotes that we have here. He says, Komalecha Shabbos lemeidim miyamalecha sha'asu ba'mishkan. That's a Gemara back on Daf Mem Tesam and Beis. So any malacha that Yechayef has to be Dome LeMishkan, the malacha that was done in the Mishkan. And as far as Malachas Hotzah is concerned, from Rishus HaYochdesh Sarabim, that we derive from Mishkan. And you're not going to be Chayef unless it's a Rishus HaRabim that's Dome to the Rishus HaRabim in the Midbar. Now the Rishus HaRabim in the Midbar was not Makura. And therefore, Havaras Daladamis Rishus HaRabim, which we know from Halacha L'Moshe Misinai, as the Gemara says on Daf Tzadi Vav Amid Beis, is a told of Hotzah, and you're not going to be Chayev for Rishus HaRabim unless it's Eino Makura. And that's going to be similar to Melechas Hotzah. Now, we get to the Agolos. The Agolos, Hayunosos kol shtei hagolos yachad zo bitzad zo. Right, so the Agolos were traveling, and you had two Agolos, one next to the other. Let's say you had two sets of Agolos. You had two Mikadima, two Miachora. And there was a space of five Amos between one Agola and the next. The width of the Agola was five Amos. And we have a little diagram here. The width of the Agolos, which would seem to exclude the wheels, if I get that impression, was five Amos. That's the Rochav Agolos. Now he writes the following. Chalal ha'gola im ovi hadfanos hoishtayim v'chetzi amos. So I think what he's saying is that the space of the agola, together with the thickness of the dfanos, was 2.5 Amos. And the Rochav of the Galgalim on both sides, together with the space between one Agola and its wheels, was 2.5 Amos. So if we said that the Rochav of the Agola is 5 Amos, then if each one of the wheels has a rochav of each one of the agolas, apparently, it's hard to see here. My impression is that each one of the agolas was 1.25 amos, which means that the total of the width of the two wheels on both sides would be 2.5, and then you have the other 2.5 to get the distance between one wheel and the other. So you're ending up now with a rochav of the agola that's 5 amos. That's a little bit confusing, because before we said that the rochav of the agola was 5 amos between the two wheels. Okay. Now, he says, Orach kol keresh hoya 10 amos. So the length of each one of the beams was 10 amos. And hoya nosim es akroshim kishaorcham munach al rochav hagolos. So they were laid on the width of the agola, these beams. So therefore, the krushim, if they were 10 amos, were boltim, they extended, protruded, michutz legalgalim, od shtei amos v'chetzi mikol tzad. Right, because what we're saying is that from one wheel to the other wheel is 5 amos, and each beam is going from one wheel to the other in the rochav. That means that each beam is 10 amos. So what you're going to have is on each side an extension, a protrusion of the boards of the krushim, 2.5 amos. Now the revach, the space between the agolos, was 5 amos. So the krushim in the agola would reach the krushim of the agola bitsido, right? Because if it protrudes 2.5 amos on each side, so then you have the two agolos, each one that has the krushma protruding 2.5, and the space between the two agolos is 5 amos, so then virtually the two agolos, one on this, the two krushim, or piles of krushim on the two agolos, will touch each other. That's what he says, akrushim shabagola zu magim lekrushim shabagola shabitzida. Nimtza shekol revach shebein ha-golos haya makura bekrushim. Correct? The entire airspace between two agolos was actually covered by a ceiling, because the agolos met each other from one agola to the krushim, excuse me, met each other from one agola to the other. So that's what we have so far. Now, it says, in the name of Rav, that the agolos tachteyem, beineyem, vitzideyem, rishus harab. So you're talking about the area between the agolos. Okay, there's not that much airspace between the agolos, as we said, because the krushim from one reached the other. Now we have tzideyem, which is the space between the... He says, "Beinam legalgolim umokom hagalgolim." Hainu kol hamokom shebitzad hagola kimole rochav hagalgolim vehu kolel gamas arevach shebein galgale hagola vegam im yesh revach mehagalgalim klapi chutz. Ad k'tzei ha'gola. Right, that has to be understood. And then he says, kirshus ha'rabim. So the agolos themselves had a status of rishus ha'yachid, because they were mukafas mechitzos. However, second. However, underneath the agolos was rishus harabim, because the mechitzos of the agola lo yu mo'ilos lahachshiv es tachas ha'agolos rishus ha'yochid al yidei gudachis mechitzos kevon shelo yu agolos kvuos rishus harabim. So we only say gudachis in a mechitza kvua, and the agolos were moving from place to place, and therefore Rishus HaRabim remains Rishus HaRabim. So Tachas HaGolos is Rishus HaRabim. Now you see clearly that Rav holds that a Mokom Makura is considered Rishus HaRabim. And if I understand correctly, we saw that in two ways. First of all, in terms of the halal tachteim underneath agolos, and also beinayim, because beinayim was also covered by the krushim up on top. And he writes here, atos sovra gemara shehayim malim es agolos lechol orkom bekrushim sheloya makom tachas agolos she'ena makura bekrushim. Now, in fact, there were four agolos carrying 48 krushim. Means there were 12 agolos on each one of the 12 krushim. Excuse me, on each one of the agolos. So, if the agolos are traveling side by side in pairs through Rishus HaRabim, and they're heavily laden down with these krushim, and the body of each wagon was 5 amos long, and 2.5 amos wide. Okay. I think he means 2.5 amos wide without the wheels. That's what I think. And he lays down the krushim, these 12 krushim, stacking them up, because again, each one of the four agolos would end up with 12 krushim, and they're laid to the length of the walls of the agola in stacks. So the length of the krushim, which are running across the width of the agola, so the ten amma krushim extended, he says, three and a half amos beyond the walls and 2.5 amos beyond the wheels on every side of the wagon. So the tips of the boards extended over the wheels, and they reached the tips of the boards extending over the wheels of the next wagon in that pair. So the boards would span the entire width of Rosh Hashanah. So when you're talking about beneath them, which is called Tachteim, you're talking about the area under the body of the wagon. Between them refers to the 5 amma wide area between the outer wheel of one wagon and the outer wheel of the next wagon on this side. And when it says here, Tzideim, their sides, that's referring to the 1.5 amma wide area between the outer side of each wagon and the outer limits of the wheels, which is on each side 1.5. Or did we say it was 1.25? Yeah, 1.25 amma. So that's called Tzideim. So if we assume that the boards are piled up in such a way they cover the entire length of the wagon, as they are stretched in the width of the wagon, then the entire area below is basically roofed. And that's even true not only beneath the wagons, but even to the sides of the wagons that we discussed, because the krushim touched each other. Yet Rav is saying in the name of Rav Chia that the areas beneath and between and to the sides of the wagon all had a status of Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, and we discussed why there's no God Achas here. So that means that even a roofed Rosh Hashanah Rabbim has the status of Rosh Hashanah Rabbim. And the Gemara answers, Rav ki ka omar bidarasa. And what is bidarasa? That means the areas underneath the gaps between the stacks of the boards. So we have gaps between the boards, these stacks of boards. And Rav is referring to the area underneath, and that's called Revach Bein Shura Shel Krushim L'Shura Smuchala. Now the Gemara is retracting its original position in the Makshon, and we're saying that Lo'ayim Emala, that the Agolos were not filling up the entire Agolos with the length of the Krushim, and therefore there was airspace between one row of krushim and the next. So when Rav said that the area beneath has the status of Shisarabim, he's referring to the area underneath the gaps between the two stacks or piles of krushim, and those gaps were not roofed. The only question is, does the floor of the wagon itself create a roof so that the ground underneath the wagon is roofed? So that we're going to cover a little bit later. So darasa means revach. And that means gaps. And these are gaps between the various stacks of krushim. And those are not makura. Those have no roof on them. So I think this is where we're going to stop. Let's make a note of where we got up to. The Gemara's kasha here, michti. Okay, then that's approximately 10 lines down from the top of Tzadiches Omen Aleph.